Tonight of the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 14, if you would. Joshua chapter 14, if you find that, you may want to go back and look at Numbers chapter 14, because we're going to go there before we get through, and maybe just stick a piece of paper in there or something, you know, and mark that place and kind of hold on to it. We'll go back there and look just a little bit. I want to just give you something tonight from the life of Caleb. I love taking a look at the individuals in the Word of God, because everything that happens to us has happened to somebody else. We like to think, well, man, everything just happens to me. No, it doesn't. You're not the first. You won't be the last. And if we just take a look at the lives of people in the Bible, we can get to instruction. We can get some help. And I like to learn from other people's mistakes, and I'd rather them make it than me make it, you know. I'd much rather do that, and so we just take a look at some of these folks in the Word of God, and I'm going to look tonight at Caleb and talk about leading and following, okay, because that's what Caleb did for us. He was a leader in following. So we got your Bible there, Joshua chapter 14. Look, if you will, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Now, if you don't know how old that is, that's 85, okay? And he said, As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go in and to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Caleb is not a major Bible character, all right? If you were to ask somebody or ask a host of people, you know, hey, list the major Bible characters, names like Moses and Abraham and maybe Jacob, you know, and Daniel and, you know, those kind of folks, they'd make that list. But I don't believe hardly anybody would list Caleb. He's pretty much an individual that is, you know, barely known. He doesn't show up in very many passages, but when he does, it's always in a good light. When Caleb shows up, you find a man of character and a man of faith. He's just always, you talk about somebody who's always got something positive said about him, it's Caleb. He left us an outstanding testimony to be an example for us, all right? Consider this fact, if you would. He's the only individual in the Bible of whom it is said, as just something that he just had to do. You with me? That was not the way he approached it. Well, okay, I've got to do this. He was an individual that if he lived in our day, he would have not have come to church and said, well, I had to come. It wouldn't have been, I'm here because I had to be here. Okay, no. He was moved. It seemed to be, this business of following the Lord seemed to be the absolute consuming desire in the life of Caleb. I mean, he had a passion for doing it. He wasn't like some folks who just seemed to, you know, kind of go with the flow and go along to get along. No, it was uppermost with Caleb. Caleb said, this is what I'm doing. I'm following the Lord. That is what I'm going to do. I believe from the Christian perspective, he looked at life and said, life is to be lived to the fullest, all right? The Christian life, the life of faith, the life of following the Lord. It's to be gung-ho, give it everything you've got. And you say, well, where do you get that? Because of Numbers chapter 14, all right? I want you to notice what happened over there. When he stood with Joshua, he was one of the 12 spies that were sent into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, all right? The Israelites, God had brought them miraculously out of Egypt, and they were there poised to enter the land of Canaan. And they decided, we're going to send in some spies to spy out the land, check things out. And Caleb was one of those 12 men, all right? Caleb was one of those 12 men, and he went into there, and when they went in and saw the land, they came back and said, hey, it's everything God said it was. Everything God said it was. The phrase that they used was, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, all right? Just an amazing land. But out of those 12 men, 10 formed the majority opinion. And their opinion is, we can't do it. We can't do it. There are giants in the land. The cities are all walled cities. We'll never be able to attack them, all right? We don't have the means to attack a walled city. We can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb were the other two men. Notice what the Bible tells us about them. Notice what they said in verse 6. After the majority report had come out, and after all the people in the congregation, verse 1 in that chapter, lift up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They had heard the majority report, and they were crying, and here they are jumping on Moses. Why did you get us out of the land of Egypt? Would to God we had died there, you know, in the wilderness. Not, and boy, I mean, they just cut loose. But look at verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, notice, rent their clothes. That is a mark of passion, okay? They were passionate about what they were doing. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. And then they said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. He said, man, if the Lord delight in us, we've got it. We can take it. They were stirred, and they were doing their best to stir the people. They were very passionate in their appeal and their encouragement to the nation. Hey, let's follow the Lord. Let's complete what we set out to do. We came out of Egypt. The whole focus was to go back to Canaan. Here we are, don't stop now. And man, he did everything he could. Well, can I say this to you? This old world needs to see such passion on the part of Christians today who are serving the Lord and are being faithful to him. They need to see some people that are serious, okay? They need to see some people that are stirred. Look, what they see too much of in this day is a bunch of lukewarm people at best. Just, you know, kind of going through the motions. I don't want to be inconvenienced too much. You know, you talk to people, and man, I remember years ago, talking to the man who was my wife's boss at that time, and hearing him make this statement, he said, "I'm so glad our church quit having Sunday night service." Well, it is a burden, isn't it, to have to get out twice in one day, all right? And, you just don't want to be burdened down. But you know what? That's the attitude of the majority of people that profess Christ today. More and more churches, they've dropped the services. They're having less service and more entertainment in the service, you know, to keep the folks happy, less preaching of the Word of God. And, hey, what's wrong with us? Well, we've got a bunch of lukewarm people. Hey, look, we ought to be passionate about this business. Man, God saved us. I'm going to heaven, all right? And not only that, but I have eternal life right now. This is not something I'm waiting to get when I die. I've got it now. Hey, I can rejoice right now in the good things of God. You know, our problem, we focus in this old world on all the trouble and problems, and our so many Christian people today, their view is, well, when I die, it's going to be wonderful. Why are you waiting until you die, okay? Man, it's wonderful now. It's marvelous now. We used to, in the youth department, we used to sing at chorus, "It's a good thing to be a Christian. It's the best thing I know. It's a good thing to follow Jesus everywhere I go. Goodbye to sin and doubting. Farewell, doubt and fear. It's a grand good thing to be a Christian, and that's why I'm here." Not anymore. I'm just suffering for Jesus. Man, I'm not. I'm enjoying being saved, you know. I'm just glad to be saved. But now, the world needs to see some Christians. We're passionate about this thing. We're not, "Well, I guess it's Sunday, we got to go to church." No, we're going. Why? Because what a wonderful chance it is. Hate to miss it, okay? To me, the worst thing in the world is to have to miss church service. I mean, it's just miserable. I hate to miss church. I don't care what it is. You say, "Well, you're preaching." I don't care if I'm preaching or not. I hate to miss church. I like to be there. I like the opportunity to serve my Lord. What a blessing it is. That's not a burden. Caleb didn't look at that and say, "Man, look, fellas, I believe it'll be tough, it'll be hard, but I think we might could do it." No, he said, "If the Lord delights us, we're going to do it. We're going to do it." He was a man that his faith was a passionate thing. Folks, that ought to be our faith. You got saved. You got to say, "Well, I got used to it." I haven't. I don't ever want to get used to being a child of God. Don't ever want to get used to the fact that, man, this old boy that deserves hell is going to heaven. And not only that, but the Lord blesses me right here, right now. I'm enjoying the blessing of God here and now. I've got so much that I don't deserve and so many things. What a wonderful thing that is. I'm not just struggling to die so I can get to heaven and rejoice. I'm rejoicing now. There ought to be some passion about us. Hey, the world needs to see that. In Caleb, that's what they saw. They saw a passionate believer, if you will. Hey, how did he do it? How did he wholly follow the Lord with passion? But not only that, second thing I want you to see, Caleb was able to wholly follow the Lord because he had the right perspective. He had the right perspective. You see, every child of God needs to have a biblical view of his own circumstances and his own situation. We need to get a biblical view of what's going on. Too often our problem is we only see with this physical eye. And with that, hey folks, your vision's limited. Your vision is limited. If all you see is that physical eye, you never see beyond the temporal. You never see beyond the earthly. All right, you never get a better view. You need to get an eternal view of what's going on, all right? of what's happening. And you say, but man, the circumstances I'm going through, okay, they may be difficult. I didn't say it'll always be rosy. Check it out. Caleb went through everything the rest of the nation went through. All right? Caleb suffered for 40 years, and it wasn't his fault. Did you hear what I just said? Caleb suffered for 40 plus years, and it wasn't his fault. There was three people wanted to cross the Jordan right now and enter Canaan. Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. All the rest of them said, nah, we ain't going. Because of all of them, those three had to suffer. They had to suffer. Caleb suffered for a long time. Why? Because of the other people, aren't they? Right? You see, the problem was the majority saw only the giants. Still got your Bible open there at Numbers 14? We'll look at the last verse in Numbers 13. See, here's the problem. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. See, that's all they saw was the giants. That's it, man. That was it. They could not see beyond that. Could not look beyond those giants, all right? But I'll tell you this, Caleb did. Because Caleb didn't see the giants. Caleb looked beyond the giants and saw God. And he saw the God that we serve that said, giants are no problem. No problem. But he had the right perspective, okay? He had the right perspective. He knew God could give victory over those giants. He knew that. Why? Because he was seeing God over the giants. But, hey, when you're looking this way and all you see is those giants, but if you'd look above and see God, giants, no comparison. No comparison. We can handle it. Hey, and boy, you need to see that, all right? You need to have that better perspective. Look, you need to learn to see the fruit instead of just the foes, all right? You need to see the fruit. Now remember, we're talking about a Christian life. We're talking about the Christian life. The Lord never said, you live for Him, everything will be great. Now, that's the health and wealth people. The health and wealth people preaching and teaching, if you'll do this and this, you'll never be sick, you can be wealthy, you know, have all kinds of money and you'll be healthy and everything. You know, wonderful, wonderful thought. Great teaching, it's just not biblical. It is unscriptural. But what we're to see is, hey, wait a minute, let's quit looking at the giants, look to God. Let's quit looking at just the foes we're going to face, and let's look at the fruit that's available, all right? I want that fruit. I want that fruit. I want to get to that fruit. I've been picking fruit before. And I don't know what it is, but you get there, and the fruit that looks the best is always highest in the tree. All right? It's not what's hanging low. We always think, that up there would be better. I know it'd be better. Well, you just got to figure out how to get it, all right? But our problem is we don't do it. Hey, with the right perspective, you'll learn to trust the promises and then overcome the problems. Overcome the problems. Will there be problems? You bet. Problems and troubles in this life, guaranteed. Guaranteed. But you hear me, they're only temporary. They're only temporary. They serve as hurdles for us to jump over, or they serve as stepping stones for us to climb on and get higher, okay? Yep, there'll be problems. Sure there will. You're going to have trouble. But can you sit here and you remember back in your life at some of the problems you had, and now you can laugh about it, okay? But if you'd let those problems destroy you, you'd have never got there. You'd have never got here today. Our problem is, hey, we've got to learn, hey, look past the promise, the problems, and trust the promise of God, all right? God's going to allow adversity to come our way. God's going to allow adversity to come our way. Adversity serves to strengthen us, okay? To strengthen us. If your faith is never tested, it will never be stronger. So it's necessary for it to be tested. So when that time of testing comes, look at it with the right perspective. If the nation of Israel had just looked at that and remembered, hey, wait a minute, God's already given us the land. When he gave it to us, he knew who was there. He knew those sons of Anak were there. He knew the giants were there. But he's already given us the land. Boy, if they'd have trusted the promises of God instead of just looking at the problems, they could have been in the land of Canaan 40 years earlier than they got in. So why didn't they? Wrong perspective. The wrong perspective. They saw giants instead of seeing God. Listen, you and I need to see God. We need to look at the fruit. You see, I believe with all my heart, Caleb realized that God wasn't going to remove every obstacle. Okay? He knew God wasn't going to remove every obstacle. You say, well, how do you know? Well, go back over there to Joshua 14, all right? Back to Joshua chapter 14. Here's what he says, all right? He said in verse 11, he said, I'm as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. And then in verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain. Now when we think give, we think here it is. But look at how he viewed this thing. He said, you give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were fenced, great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. He didn't say God will drive them out. He said, but if the Lord will be with me, I can drive them out. So what was he doing? He said, I know there's a work to do, but I'm willing to do it. And it's not going to be just always easy. Your Christian life is not going to be a breeze. There is a fight. There's a fight that we're to win. But we got to fight to win it. Okay? We got to fight to win it. I see too many people that's like, wait a minute, we got to fight. Okay, I give up. I quit. What are you talking about? You quit. Well, I thought this was going to be easy, you know? I thought I'd get saved, no one have any more problems. Well, you didn't get that in the Bible, okay? You didn't get that in the Word of God. God sends that adversity. Why? It strengthen you. I'll tell you, that's why. Now, that's why sometimes you find some of the strongest Christians and the best prayer warriors bedridden. Because they faced the adversity. And they came out on top. You said, well, you just said they were bedridden. Yep. But they weren't conquered. They weren't conquered by their troubles. And man, that's the person you want praying for you. That's the person whose faith you said, man, I want you on my side. I want you praying for me. I need your prayer to help me, okay? That's the one. Hey, listen, you hear me. Don't think for a moment, everything's just got to be wonderful. No, you need to have the right perspective. If you're going to wholly follow the Lord, you've got to have the right perspective about that life you live. So how did he do it? Well, he did it with passion. He did it with the right perspective. Thirdly, I want you to see this. He did it with perseverance. Perseverance. There is a race to run, okay? There is a life to live. Success never comes to the one who piddles around or quits. That's not where success comes. You say, well, it just fell in their lap. Yeah, because they worked real hard. A couple Sunday nights ago, or was it maybe last Sunday night, we had Brother Shipman was here, Brother Lonnie Shipman, and we had him play the piano. And we say this kind of thing, boy, you got an amazing talent. Well, wait a minute. He spent hours on the piano stool. days on the piano stool. Oh, he's talented. Yeah. I'd have been a better piano player. All right? Hey, listen, it's not all about talent. It's about perseverance. It's not all about ability. It's about perseverance. Success doesn't come to the person that piddles around, and it definitely doesn't come to the one that quits because you have a little tough time of it, all right? Doesn't come that way. Paul said it this way. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, could I remind you where he was when he wrote that? He was in prison. He was sitting in a prison cell, and under the inspiration of God, he writes a letter to the church at Philippi, and he says, here I am in prison, but I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He was pressing on the upward way, all right? But he's in prison. We forget those things. We forget those things. Now, we read Daniel, the book of Daniel, and we rejoice. We know what happened to Daniel. Well, wait a minute. We didn't go through the den of lions with him. We get excited about the three Hebrew children, but wait a minute, we weren't in the fiery furnace with them. We didn't face that. They did. Now, they could have avoided it. They could have just bowed. Hey, had they bowed, they wouldn't have went to hell. But we'd have never heard of them. We'd have never heard of them. Do you understand that? Hey, it takes perseverance. Caleb stood in the promised land, and in Joshua chapter 14, he testified after 45 years. Look in verse 10 again. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. See, God had told Caleb, you'll get to enter the promised land. You're going to get to enter the promised land. He told Joshua, you'll get to enter the promised land. So way back there, when they all had to wander in the wilderness, Caleb and Joshua knew we're going to the promised land. Now all that other crowd, they knew they were going to die in the wilderness. They knew it. But here's the testimony of Caleb, all right? He said, he kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He said, most of the time, we're talking 45 years, and most of that spent wandering in the wilderness. But you know what? I believe old Caleb kept a good attitude. I believe he kept a good attitude. I don't believe he talked to Brother Zebulon and said, you know, if you turkeys had just voted with me, I wouldn't have to be here enduring this with you guys. Griping because there's no water, there's nothing to eat. I believe he had a good attitude the whole time. You know what? You and I ought to have that, all right? Perseverance. And in the midst of that, after 45 years, he said, verse 12, now therefore, give me this mountain. What's he saying? He said, I'm not finished. I'm not done. I'm 85 years old. That's fine. Took me 45 years longer to get here than I thought it would, but no problem. I'm not finished. I'm not satisfied. He said there's more to be gained, and he wanted it. He wanted it. I can't help it. As I was thinking about this message and this part of it, I was reminded of Brother Joe Hawkins. Brother Joe Hawkins, a missionary in Brazil over 50 years. I remember the last time I talked to Brother Hawkins, and it could have been he was in the hospital. And I remember talking with him, and he was telling me his plans for Brazil. This is what I'm planning to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I see for the Indian Bible Institute. This is my desire. Now, he didn't get to complete it because God took him home, all right? But hey, he never got to do it, but he still wanted to keep on for God. He never got to the point where he said, I'm ready to retire on God. Never did that. Hey, we lived in Florida 5 years. Never forget, you'd visit people down there. And you'd visit in houses of folks that came from up north, moved to Florida because they retired. Nothing wrong with that, I don't suppose. Came out of good churches, independent, fundamental Baptist churches up north. I mean good churches, good pastors. They came to Florida. You couldn't even get them to go to church. Hey, we're talking people who've been Sunday school teachers, deacons, man, leaders in the church, faithful. They wouldn't even go to church in Florida. It was like, I'm retired. Didn't you get it? Caleb's 85 years old, said, I want that mountain. That's what I want. Hey, sometimes it'll be just perseverance that'll get you through. It'll be perseverance that gets you through. My son and I, we were all talking at lunch and talking about people's work ethics and being willing to work. And, you know, people today, I think they can find more excuses not to work and more excuses why they need to stay home, you know. Well, I'm just mentally depressed. Well, okay. Ring a ding ding. I don't know how y'all feel about it, but there have been some days in my life where I woke up and my thought was, hot dig, I don't want to go to work. I didn't want to be there. It wasn't too long ago at school, I was there trying to help Brother Dunbar. Inside, I'm thinking, I don't want to be here. I'm going to take it out on the kids. No, I didn't do that. They never knew it. They never knew it. Why? What's where I'm supposed to be, all right? That's where I was supposed to be. That's what I was supposed to be doing that day. He said, what do you do? Just do it. It's called perseverance. It's not called want to. It's not called I love it. On that particular day, I didn't love it, all right? But I stuck it out. Why? It's called perseverance. You just do it. Some days are like that. And if you're going to follow the Lord, that means you keep following him until he calls you out. You just follow him. I can say, Brother Hawkins, his mind, his intention, his desire, I'm following the Lord. I'm following the Lord. God said, no, you're done. But it's the only way he was done. God took him. God took him home, all right? Hey, could I just say it? It matters not if you're young or old, filled with energy, tired or tuckered, it doesn't matter. You do all you can while you can and leave it to God to decide when you can't, okay? Leave it to him. Why? That's holy following the Lord. Well, preacher, don't you ever get tired? Yes. I'm human. But if you're supposed to do it, you just do it, all right? You just do it, okay? Just show up and take care of it. You do it with passion, all right? It takes that with the right perspective, with perseverance. I'm going to be honest, this is the last point, and I don't like it. Not because it's the last point, but because I don't like patience. But you have to do it with patience. Hey, you be careful you don't get ahead of God. Patience. This is hard for me. Caleb had to learn to wait on the Lord. Can I just say one more time? Part of that wait was caused by others. If they'd have got on board with Caleb and Joshua, they'd already been in the promised land. Caleb would have already had his land. It would have been settled. He would have been there with his children and grandchildren and maybe great-grandchildren, you know, just living it up, enjoying being in the promised land. But no, 45 years later, we're going to enter the promised land. It was somebody else's fault, all right? Because of the majority report, the unbelief of the nation, all right? He waited a long time to get in the promised land. Now, you may have to wait for some things too. But my Bible says wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You may have to wait, all right? You may have to wait for an answer to prayer. You may have to wait for an answer to prayer. I never liked it when I asked for something and my dad said, I'll give it to you tomorrow. Tomorrow? How about now? No, tomorrow. Mom, can I have something to eat? Supper will be ready in an hour. An hour? I'm starving now. I probably won't last. Sometimes you may have to wait, all right? You pray. Listen, I believe God answers prayer, without a doubt. But God doesn't always answer our prayer the moment we want it. Not that way. You may have to wait. You may have to wait to see your faith produce the desired fruit. You may have to wait. If you do, just wait on the Lord, okay? Wait on the Lord. How wonderful it would be if we could get to heaven and have it said about us, as was said of Caleb, he wholly followed the Lord. Man, he provides the leadership for us. He provides the example. God, help us to follow that example. Now, I want to ask you tonight, and I'm done. Which part do you need to work on? All four. Maybe so. Maybe it's patience. Now, don't pray for patience, because the Bible said persecution worketh patience, all right? Don't pray for patience. Just work on your being patient, all right? Work on being patient. Hey, maybe you need to just persevere. Maybe you may have been tempted just a little bit to give up. Maybe you've been tempted to put it aside and say, I just can't do it. Hey, don't give up. Don't give up. Persevere. Stick it out. Stick it out. Maybe it's the right perspective. Maybe you need to look at things from a little different view. Don't just look at the foes, look at the fruit. Don't just look at the giants, look at God. Look at Him, okay? I don't know where you need to work. Maybe you need to work on that passion. Maybe you need to get stirred a little bit, all right? Maybe that's what's needed in your life. I don't know what it is. But boy, I tell you what a reward to just have somebody say that individual wholly followed the Lord. Is that you? Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, help us to be honest with ourselves and really just take a look. You've given us a tremendous example with Caleb, a man who wholly followed the Lord. Lord, would you help us to do that? Would you put that, would you just help us to get that desire in our heart that we'd not be satisfied to just have a moderate brand of Christianity. But Lord, that we'd be passionate about it. It'd be the consuming desire of us that our Christian life, we'd live it to the fullest, Lord, with everything we have, giving it all to you. And Lord, help us to persevere when we need to. Help us to look things from the right perspective. And Lord, help us learn to be patient when we need to. Use invitation now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?